This is Don White. I'm temporary convener of the Pacifica National Board Audit Committee, which is meeting tonight, Wednesday, May 31st, 2006. And we're actually beginning the meeting at 4:53 Pacific time. We have a chair, so in just a moment I will be turning this meeting over to the elected chair. Before I do that, could I please call the roll? Mary Berg?
Here.
Mark Hernandez? Marnie Tattersall?
Here.
Terry Goodman?
Here.
Harrison Weil?
Here.
Don White is here. Ted Weisgall?
Here.
Brian Swain?
Here.
Lisa Davis? Cheryl Iffy Griffin? Bertold Reimers?
Here.
Mark Roberts? Rob Robinson? Thomas Ruffin? That actually is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, so that establishes quorum. And I want to congratulate the newly elected chair of the Audit Committee, Bertold Reimer of the WBAI Signal Area, and I'm going to turn the meeting over to our newly elected chair, Bertold.
Yes, hi. Hi, everyone. Welcome.
Thank you.
I do believe we have an attempted agenda. Okay. So I believe I have to call this meeting to order now at 7:54. We have a minute, an agenda that has been proposed by the temporary convener. Is there anyone who wants to add to this agenda? Or anyone wants to move to approve the agenda? And the agenda is...
Bertold?
Yes.
This is Ted, and I just recently sent out an email. The proposed agenda that I saw did not include an approval of the minutes of our last meeting.
Okay. So you want to add the approval of the minutes for the last meeting to this agenda?
I thought it was there. Okay.
Do I hear anyone moving to put approval of the minutes as the third part after temporary convener?
Mr. Chair, I
would... Everyone looking at the agenda?
Yeah, I'm looking at... I move to approve the agenda.
I have a
as
question.
Amended.
Mr. Chair.
You second?
I second.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor to approve the agenda as amended.
Kind of a point of order.
Yes.
I believe we should announce the secretary before we approve an agenda.
Okay. I do believe that, isn't Ted Weisgold still the temporary secretary at this time?
Yes. Well, he and I were co-temporary, I guess, however you... Yeah.
Well, do we have a chair's report of the result of an election for secretary?
No.
He didn't nominate secretary.
Oh.
No, we left that for the end of the meeting for a permanent secretary.
Then I would like to move that Ted Weisgall be secretary pro tem for this meeting with Mary Berg assisting.
I would like to decline.
I move that Mary Berg be secretary pro tem of this meeting.
Yeah, Terry, I was going to do that on you.
We
can
cut
a deal
decline.
Here.
Is there any...
I'll do it. But, you know, I'll remember this.
Well, we need a secretary before we do business.
Okay, hearing no objection, Mary Berg is the temp secretary. We move on now to the approval of the minute of the agenda as amended, with Mary Berg as the secretary and...
Pro temp.
For transparency, let me repeat.
Yeah, Terry to be recognized.
Sure, with this?
Terry would like to add to the agenda election of a secretary, if it's not there.
Yeah, I think that's there.
We have
item 6.
I don't have the agenda.
Oh, it's on the website if you want to get it. It's
oh yeah, I have web now.
Do you have an email address, Terry? You online?
Yeah, but my email won't work at the moment. But I can get on the web.
But you can go to KPFTX and click on this meeting, and that temporary one is there.
Okay.
Okay. Well, for transparency's sake, let me read the agenda as proposed right now. Call to order. Welcome of speaking of roll call. Establishing quorum. Temp convener. Temporary convener congratulate newly elected chair and turns the meeting over to him. New chair facilitates approval of agenda, selection of temporary secretary and timekeeper, and the rest of the meeting. Approval of minutes. Brief overview and discussion of the mandate, duties, responsibilities, goals of this committee. Then we'll go into all business, which is one, motion on local station audits. Two, issues pending from Director Rob Robinson. Three, policies and procedures. Manual from Ben Garcia, status. Four, previous minutes posted by Mark Hernandez via Pete Caracas, status. Five, minutes sent to Ross Wisdom by Secretary, status. And six, Mark and Bertol's Yahoo group status. New business, election of permanent PNB Audit Committee Secretary, Audit Committee report to PNB in New York discussion, and finally, votes on excused absence. Next meeting, June 22nd, 2006, at 4 p.m. Western, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's the agenda.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
This is Rob Robinson from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
I have a meeting that's going on concurrently
right.
with the programming committee, and I don't want to deal with why we have this conflict, but I need to get to my committee meeting. So is there some way, Mr. Chair, that I can move forward the issues that you have relative to my concerns about how the audit committee shall operate?
Mm-hmm. Do I hear a motion?
I move that item 2 under old business be moved to item 1 under old business.
Item
okay,
two.
We don't have to second in a committee, so.
That would put Rob Robinson's issues as the first under old business.
Okay.
I hear no objection.
So where are we, Mr. Chairman?
Okay, right now we are waiting for.
So we are moving.
Yes. Any more objections to the amended agenda?
No, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I would like to make a substitute motion that, out of respect to Rob, who is the victim of this conflict in scheduling, then instead of moving it to the first item of old business, that we move it to the next agenda item and deal with it immediately.
Yeah.
As I understand it, he has a commitment in just probably starting about now.
Yeah,
right now.
I do.
Yeah. Therefore, I would move, if there are no objections, that Rob takes the
mm-hmm.
floor immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to agenda item 1. In other words, we move his concerns to agenda item 1.
Right.
Point of order. We can do that. The secretary should note that it is a suspension of the rules that require
right.
two-thirds approval, and if there's no objection, that's two-thirds approval.
Is there any objection? Okay. Rob Robinson's item becomes the next order of business. As chair, I guess I'm not supposed to bring this idea. Anyone wants to bring after that the idea of setting up the next couple of meeting dates? Do I hear anyone proposing setting
well,
up?
Well, that is, Mr. Chair, that is dealt with under agenda item
right.
8, which is formula to a regular schedule of audit committee meetings. I don't know if the body would like to just put that off till agenda item 8.
Okay, so, let's move on. Okay. Rob Robinson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I have to say relates to a discussion that I had last June with the former chair of the Audit Committee, Donna Warren, and it basically has to do with how the Audit Committee shall define its mission in regard to the financial operations of the network and in regard to the other committees of the National Board that are involved in financial affairs. And I'm going to make this very brief, Mr. Chairman, so I can get back to my meeting, but I'm going to try to, I hope that I will help you in dealing with the issues under your purview. The first thing is the issue of reports and reporting. I believe that the Audit Committee can play a very significant role in talking to the Finance Committee and the Board and the Chief Financial Officer about things such as what are the reports that are required for the Board to certify that the health of the financial health of the network. And I think we have to identify what criteria assure that the generally accepted accounting principles are involved, how we are fulfilling the mission of Pacifica, and what are the indices of health, financial health for the organization. So in terms of doing that, I don't suggest that the Audit Committee should tell the Chief Financial Officer what should occur, but I think that the Audit Committee should encourage the Finance Committee to design reports that detail the data that should be included in reporting, the frequency with which these reports should come to the full Board, annual and periodic reports that should be available, and the review and decision-making process that both the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee should make and the full Board should make in accordance with reviewing these reports. In other words, if it's important for us to receive reports on a regular basis and make decisions, we have to understand what data is there and what decisions we're making. The second issue that I think that the Audit Committee should look into, and again, this is to some extent the purview of the Finance Committee, but my point is that the Finance Committee has so far avoided setting policy in this area, and I think the issue of finance, the financial systems of the foundation is something that the Audit Committee should look at, and we should look at recommending that all financial systems, personnel systems, and accounting controls that ensure the integrity of the foundation's financial operations insofar as they generate accurate and useful budget, financial, and accounting reports should be clarified. The systems and controls that require development should involve things like, personnel. The personnel system, that should involve onboard strength reporting. We should know every month how many employees are on board, how many positions are open, and how many positions are being applied for. We should have headcounts. Fundraising, we should have a system that's capable of tracking fundraising events that occur from within Pacifica. We need to look at financial systems that control things like credit cards and credit systems that are provided for managers and other officials of Pacifica. And we should look at the issue of inter-organizational transfers of funds within Pacifica, which have created incredible confusion within the organization. So those are some of the parameters that I think we should look at in terms of financial systems. More specifically, in terms of audits and investigations, I think that the Audit Committee really ought to look at very quickly putting together a request for proposals for the auditing of the network, and ought to really try to find young, aggressive firms that have worked with nonprofits that can help us do management auditing and help us put in place the institutional systems and accounting mechanisms that Pacifica currently doesn't have. And that's really what I wanted to suggest. I believe that I've made a copy of this available to Don White and Mr. Reimers, and that's all I wanted to say.
Rob, this is the secretary, please, at least pro tem. Would you please send it to at least me, if not the whole committee?
But
of course. Really think you should send it to the whole committee.
Of course.
I believe that document is on our website in the file section.
Well, if I just got it sent, it would be so much easier.
That's true. I have forwarded too, but I think it should be sent again.
Okay.
I did not have that myself. I don't know about that.
All right. Any discussion on this? Questions for Rob Robinson? Hello?
Yes. Is Rob still on the line?
Rob?
Yeah.
Rob, may I be recognized, Mr.
Sure.
Chair?
Sure.
One of our agenda items tonight, Rob, is a motion. I don't know if we'll actually, you know, resolve it and completely process it, but it's around local station audits. You know, Wisdom, our auditor, basically focuses on the Berkeley office and the national picture and does very sporadic local station audits. So having talked to you in the past, I think you basically support the concept of having an audit team that visits local stations and audits some of the issues that you've put forward tonight, including financial processes and protocols at the local stations. Is that
absolutely, Don. I was the chief financial officer, although my background is not in finance, for a government agency in the mayor's office here in Washington, D.C., and we did this sort of thing. I think that one of the problems that we have in Pacifica is that we don't do management auditing to determine where we have strong or weak systems at local stations that support stuff like this, and so we really, as an institution, we don't have a clear understanding of where we need to build better staffing, where we need to train staff, where we have accounting controls that are lacking, and so what happens at the board level is that we find ourselves engaged in accusations that this or that is happening because somebody's, you know, paying attention or not paying attention. And the reality is that we should have accounting controls, and supervisors should be looking at things, and we should have reporting systems in place. But we don't have that here at Pacifica because we haven't bothered to do that. But absolutely, Donna, I think that's very important, not because we have to bureaucratize the way we operate, but because we have to be accountable.
Okay. You know, this the idea of money always comes to play here. And since you are a CFO, what are we talking about? Do you have any idea?
What are we talking about?
As far as how much that will cost us.
Well, Bertold, if I can call you Bertold, I hope I'm not being disrespectful. I mean, my concern is that as a member of the foundation that's on the governing board, we don't have any policies in place for any of this stuff. So we get auditor's reports, and the auditor works with the CFO, but we don't have, the board doesn't have any involvement in the scope of work for the audit. So we aren't, for example, able to say, we'd like to look at the impressed fund systems that are used, or we'd like to look at whether or not we're concerned about how much money we need to invest in our real property. None of these things happen, Bertold, and my concern is that what we need to do on the audit committee is, rather than simply being led around by the nose from our auditors and stuff, is we need to identify the scope of the financial systems and figure out whether or not there are sufficient protections in place, both in terms of reporting, but also from the audit standpoint, when the auditor goes in and looks at some of these things on an annual basis, if we're concerned that our cash accounting is not sufficient, if we think that impressed funds are not being done properly, if we think that we're spending too much money, for example, on premiums, then those are issues that we ought to build into the scope of work, you know, of the audit. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Is that Marnie?
Sorry, I was whispering to somebody else.
Oh, okay. So my sense, Mr. Reimers, and I guess I should get off the phone, but my concern is that in doing the work of the audit committee, one of the things that we need to be doing is being concerned about what the scope of services are and work is that the auditor does that comes back to us, so that we need to understand whether or not the systems that are in place are in fact protecting the interests of the foundation. And currently, I don't think that's happening. I don't think that there's any correspondence between what the audit report tells us and what's in the budget, and that's a concern that I have.
Any comment on that?
It's Terry.
Terry?
Yeah, I think we'll get more in detail when we get to number three. But on the agenda. But in general, I'm sympathetic with Rob's intent, but don't totally agree with his analysis. Much of what he's talking about is under the purview of the Finance Committee rather than the Audit Committee. The problem, I mean, there are reporting systems in place. There are supposedly monthly reports of standard financial information, although currently it may be a problem because of a software glitch. What the annual audit does is confirm that the financial health, the general financial health of the organization is as represented in the financial reports, but that's not sufficient for what we in the audit committee would like. And so there is a need for more internal investigation and review of policies and procedures regarding financial stuff that makes audit transparent. And the problem is, if there are policies and procedures, we generally have a hard time finding out what they are. I mean, it's a 50-year-old institution that's been doing things certain ways for many years, but currently with all the changes in governance and management, it's hard to know what old policies and procedures still remain and are being followed and what things are being done by the seat of the pants. So in order for us and the Finance Committee to do our jobs, we will need the documentation of current Pacifica policies and procedures regarding financial matters. And one way to get that done the only way we can get anything done is by having specific motions brought before the committee that we vote on and then forward on to the Pacifica National Board.
Okay. I'd like to add to that. As a chair, can I kind of step in and if there's any objections? I'd like to add to that. Mentioned that there was serious inconsistencies in reporting procedures across the network. There was a set of policies and procedures that are supposed to be submitted to us by the CFO. And Ben Garcia was supposed to get a draft of it to us. These are some of the things that are still outstanding. And I do also share those concerns. But further, my concern is really about, the accountability, the reports, and implementation of recommendation. It seems that this is sometimes the Finance Committee or the Audit Committee that all we do is an exercise in just doing and going through the motion and doing this and making those recommendations. The PNB doesn't seem to have the will to take action to get things done. And so the question, the real question and the frustration for Mark Robinson really is, what is the Finance Committee doing and how does that impact the foundation to the board, the PNB itself, legislating certain changes, and what is done about it? Who is hired, who is fired, who is you know, warned, has there been anything done? And I think that's probably what's the real frustration at BAI or everywhere else throughout the network.
Mr. Ramos, I'm going to have to leave to conduct my other committee.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you so much. I apologize for being so rude.
Sure, well.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, a point of order, procedure.
Uh-huh.
One of the things we haven't done is assigned times
uh-huh.
to each of the agenda items.
Right.
And Rob has kind of touched off a series of issues, so maybe we should look at the agenda and agree on times, which only a committee vote could extend, and then we'll get probably have more control over this agenda.
Mr. Chair, Mary Bird, with the point
yes.
of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to have to leave the... I agree, we need to set the times, and I just wanted to let people know I will have to leave this call by 7:30 because I have another commitment that I have to... an appointment I have to make before I leave in the morning.
Amen.
So if we could keep it to that time... that would be wonderful.
Okay. You know, I personally felt that, you know, the time could have been set earlier. But since we are, you know, I mean, I don't think we're having any problem right now. I mean, if it becomes a problem, maybe we can move on and then restrict debate or, you know, because these are important questions. All these questions and issues could be debated forever. So I think we should just move on to the next order of business if there are no objections. Which is the brief overview and discussion. Actually, the approval of the minutes, which is the next order of business. And then we can go back to the brief discussion of the mandate and do the responsibilities of this committee.
I think
that debate should not be timed because it's an important debate that will determine maybe our job and duties and maybe those of the next PNB audit committee way beyond our existence.
Okay, I thought we had, Mr. Chair, I thought we had approved the minutes as amended. I made that note because there was no objection.
No, the agenda.
The agenda, I'm sorry. That's
yeah, not the minutes. The next
oh, I'm sorry.
Approval of minutes.
Yeah, agenda. Minutes, that's what you said.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the April 13, 2006 meeting?
I move to approve the minutes.
Does everybody have a copy of the minutes as amended and corrected by Ted Weisgold?
I have them. This is Ted.
Yes, Ted, okay.
They were sent out to, we have them.
Okay. There were a few corrections. Can I go to that quickly so that can help you quickly? The corrections were to cross out core W question mark. I have a correction, which is Cheryl Ife Griffin is from WBAI, not KPFT.
Let me find her name.
What was the first one? I'm sorry, I missed the first.
The first one, present Harrison Whale, KPFK, comma, and then core WW question mark.
I think that he was writing Carol Wolf in there. I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
She's not part of the committee.
No. She was there as a guest.
Out.
So
I'll be forced out.
Are you moving just to strike that?
I'm chairing, so I'm hoping that other members of this committee would do that.
Yeah, I would suggest that come out. Yeah, I had looked at it, and I think it's not anybody. Was something.
Do I hear a motion by anyone to approve?
I move to strike that out. Is that
yeah.
what you'd like?
Okay. Also, in absence, Cheryl Ife Griffin is from WBAI, not KPFT.
Mm-hmm.
Do I hear a motion to?
Yeah, I'm so moved.
Any objection? No? Okay. Another correction quickly is Ross Wisdom I suggested that the committee look at the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. It's O-X-L-E-Y. It's the third page. The new business, going further down, almost before the nomination of officers.
How do you spell that?
Oxley, O-X-L-E-Y.
Well, I don't even see that. Well, Ted, you're making these corrections, right? Because these were your minutes, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That.
Okay, do I hear, okay, all those in favor of approving the minutes as amended?
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I think the expediting of this is not an appropriate thing to do. I think they really should be read, and I think they should be read more, not for the purpose of corrections, as much as to bring everybody up to speed on some of the things that are in here that we said we were going to do. I know that there are some things in here that I said I was going to do that I did not do, namely sending the report of Ross Wisdom to him for his input and for a response back.
Okay. So, Mr. Secretary, would you like to read the minutes?
Mr. Chair, could I be recognized?
Yes.
I think rather than take time to kind of deal with this small point by small point,
mm-hmm.
I would recommend that we all read the minutes so that we do have what Ted suggests, an overview of what occurred in the last meeting, and that
mm-hmm.
Ted and or Mary provide by email a final audit, you know, edited copy, because in the minutes we're being asked to approve. There are notes like, Ted, my notes show we volunteered as secretary before auditor's report. In other words, they're not in a final form, and that we postpone the approval of these minutes until the June 22nd meeting.
I don't agree. And I'd like to speak just to why, Mr. Chair.
Sure. Ted?
The work that we are doing tonight should build upon what we did at our previous meeting, and if we don't hear what we did at our previous meeting, we will not be focused on what we are supposed to do tonight.
Any counter argument to that?
Well, if I could speak again, I don't want to speak before others if there are others, but I
anyone
do.
Else who hasn't spoken?
Well, Mary Berg.
Mary Berg?
I take Adant's point, but the thing about them, we can always go back and revisit those, but we will have the substance of it. There's nothing preventing us doing that. There are some things, but rather than spend meeting time doing it, as I said, I have to leave the call, so I'm kind of thinking of the time. We could at least post them as approved, and we could always amend them. So I would rather just go ahead and do it now with the proviso that we can go back and get them corrected.
This is Marnie with a point of information, I think.
Yes.
That's called. I thought that basically minutes were just supposed to reflect attendance, like, and then the motions passed. And these seem to be very detailed narrative kind of minutes. Is that the deal?
May I speak to this, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
There's a big difference between what happens at a board meeting and what happens at a committee meeting. And committee minutes are really not minutes, but reports. You know, you will bring a report from the committee to the national board, and the board will then take from it those items, but they will also have the rationale behind the report of the committee. They don't ask at the national board for the minutes, they ask for committee reports.
Right.
And this is in keeping with what Robert prescribes for committees, committee reports.
So,
I'd like to speak to that a little bit. I think that you know, both sides have a point here. However, you know, we have to be somewhat practical to a certain extent and see how we can get business done since we're meeting once a month for an hour and a half. Now, so if things are not that formal as they are, then I think what we should really do, which is something that's always been rejected by Pacifica for the sake of transparency, we should discuss those minutes and all those issues online, and so that we can have a better understanding and exchange of ideas as we get to the meeting, where the meeting should really be, where we are actually processing those exchanges and coming with legislation. Did I lose anybody?
Sorry, I don't understand where that sits in the question.
I think we should discuss minutes of the meetings and so forth, and then issues online on the Yahoo group extensively, so that when we come to the minutes, to the meetings that are an hour and a half long only, we can have, we have discussed those issues and we can actually process and go faster in,
gotcha,
in making decisions.
Okay, so if I could have the floor whenever.
Sure. Who's this? Marnie?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So I'm just reflecting that from the Finance Committee last year, the minutes were basically motions, and the chair generated a report for each PNB meeting. That seemed very efficient. I can't quite imagine that the PNB would read 3 months' worth of detailed minutes from the Audit Committee every time they meet. And I don't think we need a stenographer here taking minutes. After all, we are, fortunately, archived. So I believe that is much more efficient, and it doesn't disagree with what Berthold said, that the minutes really should be just the nuts and bolts of the motions passed. And woe be unto us that don't attend these meetings and don't bother to listen to the stream either.
This is Harrison. I'd like to speak for a moment.
Sure.
I think that the committees that I've dealt with have pretty much only talked about motions and commitments that people make to do things, and that makes some sense to me. But I think that it's important that we make a determination about how we're going to deal with minutes, and that we try very diligently to deal with the minutes from the prior meeting at each meeting, so that we don't get a backlog and we don't get in a position where we're losing continuity. And that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
This is Ted. I think I have a compromise. I just went through the document and I saw stuff that can be read in less than probably 2 minutes that gets us on point for what we... action items from our last meeting, and that, I don't want to get into the roll call or the agenda or any of the minutia of it, but there are some key points, and I feel I failed this committee in a small way, and that will be illustrated by some of what I have to read. If I can do that, what I've just said probably would not take any longer than what I have to read.
Okay, can we compromise on this? Going forward, we will have minutes, we have motions, and only on those minutes. However, for the sake of continuity, we're going to let Ted read the items that we discussed that we're supposed to take action on, that we did not take action on, and we can move on.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I would just like to have that. In this case, we had a report from the auditor, which I think shouldn't just be, unless the report can be appended as text, which in this case it cannot. It wasn't like that. Then there should be something. I would like to make an exception. When we have a report from somebody, we need to know what they were reporting about. And, yes, you can go listen, but if you have at least a clue of what is said, you can find it on the archive much easier. So I'd like to make that exception, and I'd also the other exception would be things that people say they'll do. There's not a motion, but it's an action. I would like to include actions, whether they were formal motions according to Roberts or not. Like I'm looking here, Ben Garcia says he will get the draft email to the committee. Or if anyone else says, I will do this, that should be noted. So with those two exceptions, I would agree with what you said. I'd like to add those two.
Okay. So, Ted, can you move on without
yes.
any suggestions?
Okay. It begins, Ross Wisdom refused what he reported to the Pacifica National Board last January in Washington. In summer, he shared his concerns about inconsistencies in reporting procedures across the network. A policies and procedures, I should say manual, developed by Lonnie Hicks, the CFO of the foundation, needs to be reviewed and perhaps revised by the committee. He said that he prefers communication from the committee via the chair. He said he bills the foundation for a time at a rate of $200 per hour, but will respond to brief emails such as these notes for accuracy gratis. Terry Goodman said, I would like the committee to be sent a draft of the policies and procedures manual. Ben Garcia said, I will get the 2005 draft emailed to the audit committee. The motion from Donna Warren, as amended, is introduced. Be it resolved that the KPFK LSB direct its LSB directors to push for the PNB to search for and hire a full-time internal auditor at a comparable salary plus benefits for all five sister stations, to visit each station on a regular basis to ensure the accounting systems of the stations are adequate, to perform annual incurred costs, and to perform specific cost audits as needed. Ross Wisdom, I suggest that the committee look at the Sarbanes-Oxley Act vis-a-vis the law on audits. And finally, Ted Weisgall, I request that the minutes of this portion of the meeting be sent directly to Ross Wisdom by the secretaries to establish its accuracy relative to Ross's comments, assuming it will not occupy more than 15 minutes of his time. Ross agrees to review it on his own time. The committee agrees by consensus with the caveat that Ross not devote more than 15 minutes. Ross provides his email address and then leaves the call. That's essentially it, I think.
Okay.
Oh, no, there's one more. Agenda item number 3, postponed till the next meeting, pending documents from the National Office. Also postponed to the next meeting, rules and means for expelling people from the committee for non-attendance and the discussion of access to the Yahoo group. That's it.
Well, that should be in there.
Yes.
Is there?
Well, did we get any of these documents? So how would we proceed? I would suggest we do not approve those minutes at this point, but when we go over to the next agenda item, which is a brief overview and discussion of the mandate, duties, responsibilities, goals of this committee, that will include also those items that were read by Ted Weisgall for discussion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I would recommend that we do approve these minutes. We can always come back and make corrections on them in the future, but I think everybody has... I mean, these are reasonably accurate reflection, and I would have no objection to amending them in the future, but this is good enough for right now.
Mary Berg?
Yes?
I would concur. I really think we're spending a lot of time on this, and it sounds to me cumbersome, what you're suggesting, and we, as has been pointed out twice, we can definitely change them if we want. I thought they were okay, too. I would rather just approve them so that we can go on.
Can I hear a motion?
I moved to approve them as amended, and amendments were the corrections that you already mentioned.
Okay.
No objection.
Do I hear any objection?
This is Don White. I'm going to abstain, and I would like to, at some point, just register a strong objection to what just happened. But I'll just abstain from approving these minutes.
Okay. Well, okay. So you're objecting?
I'm objecting to reading the minutes of the last meeting when they were actually circulated to people. They did not come to us in a final form. We went through, we sent them out. People hopefully read the minutes of the last meeting. So I'm just objecting to spending committee time reading the minutes of the last meeting. But I will not block approval of these minutes, even though they're not in final form, and I will just abstain.
Okay, so I hear no objections to approving the minutes, but a strong dissent on reading minutes at a meeting. So therefore, those minutes are approved, and we'll move to the next agenda. Brief overview and discussion of the mandate, duties, and responsibilities, goals of this committee. The floor is open for discussion. Does everybody have Rob Robinson's document? I emailed it a few minutes ago to everybody as an attachment. Okay. Who brought this point to begin with? Don White, can you, I believe you...
Yeah, I'll... Thank you. At the first meeting of this committee with new membership from a new PNB, it was my view as just convening chair that we should take a moment to kind of like look at the mandate, duties, responsibilities, goals of the committee, much as Rob Robinson did at the opening of this meeting. I actually believe this agenda item should be timed so we all are aware that we cannot spend, you know, like a half hour or 45 minutes on it. But if people have other contributions on this agenda item that will help direct the committee's work, as Rob has done, I thought it would be helpful. And we did not cover it in the first meeting of this committee, and so we've reintroduced it, but it's not designed to be a long, long discussion, but more very succinct comments.
Okay. So what are your succinct comments about how you see this going?
Are you asking me?
Yes. Conversation here.
Yeah. Well, I think Rob put out some of the views that I have, and that is to be more active as an audit committee in dealing directly with reports that help us understand, you know, our responsibilities. And I'm a fairly strong advocate that there's a weakness in the auditing at local stations. And when we asked Mr. Wisdom whether he was able to audit the, you know, financial procedures and protocols and systems at local stations, it was clear that they don't have time really to do a comprehensive job on that. And I actually believe there are some problems at local stations. I'm not calling, you know, I'm not saying that there's dishonesty or misappropriation. It's more just effective systems of reporting so that all financial committees of LSBs have you know, access to, you know, fairly, you know, up-to-date reporting systems and auditing and protection for protective systems and so on.
Okay. I heard transparency. I heard local station effectiveness, on-time report, comprehensive, up-to-date, and protective. I mean, these are the main issues that keep coming up. You know, Rob Robinson mentioned earlier that sometimes people are accused of some of things because no one really knows exactly what's going on, and you talked about effectiveness. Is that the sense of this body? Are there any objections to some of these issues or other issues that you feel stronger that pertain to, you know, the mandate of the audit committee?
This is Harrison. I'd like to make a comment.
Yes.
I particularly would like to focus on what Mr. Wisdom said about the inconsistency or the lack of standardization of the reporting by the different stations. And I think that's more clearly within the purview of this committee to suggest that the audits would be more effective if the policies and procedures were more standardized.
So consistencies, meaning requesting a copy of the policies and procedures from the CFO? And maybe...
Well, I'm not entirely clear as to what Mr. Wisdom was saying, okay? But my impression was that he felt that the procedures of reporting were somewhat different from the different stations, and that made it a little bit more difficult for him to do the auditing. And so it seems like there is a generally recognized need for clear policies and procedures, and if those were the same for the different stations, that would facilitate the audit of the foundation. And so that would be something that we might want to recommend.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's what Mr. Wisdom said. He said that policies and procedures developed by Lonnie Hicks, the CFO of the foundation, needs to be reviewed and perhaps revised by the committee. Any other comments from the committee members?
Bertold, this is Ted from Houston.
Yes, Ted.
I've read, thank you for emailing this to all of us. I've just read this document, and perhaps I'm missing something, but I'm looking for the two words or the answer to the question, by whom? I don't see that in here. Do I need to be more specific? By whom?
What about...
Meaning?
I'm not clear what you mean, Mary Berg. But in what context?
Well, let me read the...
just refer to where...
Okay, just starting at the beginning. Reports and reporting. The audit committee shall specify annual and periodic reports reporting be made available to the PNB or the Finance and Audit Committee necessary for the exercise of fiduciary responsibilities that assure Pacifica's budgetary, financial, and accounting operations. By whom?
Well,
it's by the CFO.
Mary Berg here?
Yes, Mary Berg.
Since this covers a wide range of different kinds of reports, I mean, I presume that these would come from either the CFO or whoever is the person... who is generating the report.
Do the words the CFO need to be included in here, or is it assumed that this document is sufficient without identifying the CFO?
I
think that this document is like a draft suggestion by Rob Robinson. I don't think it was submitted as such, and I think maybe what we should do is work with him in committee to work out the details and issues and the whom and what to be addressed, and then bring it to the committee with more detail. I think this was just for a meeting of the mind and general discussion on issues that you know should be addressed by audit committee. But this is definitely by the CFO and then the financial. Mm-hmm. The finance department, which is also responsible to the executive director. So ultimately, the executive director has the responsibility to give it to us, but can direct the CFO or anyone from the financial office to give us those documents on a regular basis.
Yes.
And I'm assuming those people would be able to get these documents from the general managers of each station. So these are the details that need to be worked out in this document, throughout this document.
Mm-hmm.
Don White on the stack?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Ted actually brings up a very good point, and it's something that we need to discuss at length, probably not in this meeting, and that is our relationship to auditors and our relationship to the CFO and the executive director. I mean, I think it is not clear in our mandate or in our goals. If we were to propose to the PNB that there be local station auditors, would they report directly to the audit committee and on to the PNB through our reports? A report from the CFO is a report from the CFO, but it is not necessarily an auditing process. So would we ask our foundation auditor, would we be more active and proactive with our auditor and ask for reports directly from the auditor to the audit committee, or would that overstep, you know, our, you know, role as an audit committee? So I think these are the very questions that some of us are not clear about.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Sarbanes-Oxley Act came about, as you know, there's all this corruption throughout this country, and I'm not suggesting any of that within Pacifica, but what happened is there became a relationship, too close of a relationship between the auditors and the CFOs and the finance department, where the auditors would spend 8 years auditing on a regular basis, and they became friends with the people they were auditing. And, you know, so the point is well taken that, you know, the loyalty of the auditors should really be to the board. You know, they are working with the finance department, but their loyalty is to the board, and that's not well determined since they are hired by the CFO in general, and they deal on a regular basis with the CFO. So this is one of the things that the audit committee can probably try to focus on, the relationship between the board, the CFO, and the auditors, and how do we establish who they ultimately have their the auditors have their loyalty to. I mean, I think if that is established properly, most of our other issues and concern would diminish.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would like to suggest one of two things. Either we go through this document right now, I'm talking about the Rob Robinson document, and we identify by whom as we go through it, or that a committee of one be assigned the task of doing that and bringing back a report at our next meeting.
Mary Berg here.
Mary Berg?
I would make an amended motion. I was going to make this motion anyway, that we form a subcommittee. I don't think a committee of one is... I think we need a few people to, as you suggested, go through and finalize the language, not necessarily the by who, but whatever... As you said, it's a draft, and to work up the final language, possibly with Rob Robinson, if he's available. I wish someone would answer that phone or change their call number,
yeah,
or call tones, because that's an annoying sound. That is better. I know it's different, but it ain't better.
Mary, can I interrupt you?
So that was what I would be moving to do, to form a subcommittee which will go through and address the concerns, rather than, I don't think that this committee on this call should sit there and go through for any purpose this whole thing.
Mary, can I interrupt you? This is
well, Ted. I want to, that's my motion.
I'm agreeing with you. But it's got to be two people that can easily...
I would suggest it be a small group of maybe three, maybe four. Rob Robinson should be involved if he possibly can, because he's the author of it. So that would let me let me make the motion with that it includes Rob and maybe two or three other people who would like to volunteer.
Can this motion be clearer? I just don't get it. It's too confusing. Can you limit the number of people? Are there anyone on this list, on this group right now who want to be on that committee so that we can just make a clear motion directing three people?
Point of order, Mr. Chair. I believe that you should entertain the motion from Mary and then ask for a second.
Why
her
a
motion
second?
Then should be...
Why a second?
We don't need a second.
Well, if we need a second, and then after the motion, then the motion is open to discussion.
Yeah.
But I think membership is a little premature at this moment because we don't have a motion passed.